Look at these notes.
You're just going to have all these useless journals filled up with just, like, nonsense notes that you would have to, like, fully be aware of what you're talking about in order to, like, understand them. But when
our podcast is very famous in the future, I'll be able to sell this for $1 million. Everyone's going to want to look back on old, irrelevant reality TV notes, right?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So, we are hammering into episode 2 of Katie's season of The Bachelorette.
Yes, that's correct. And as most of you know, listening to this, we did not get this podcast out at the appropriate time. And that is because I was on a trip into the bush and I had no cell service at all. And my plans to, like, stream it on Wi-Fi were not even a possibility because I had no Wi-Fi either. So we totally missed last week. I anticipate that that could happen occasionally. Cole and I literally, like, travel around all the time for life. So that's something that we will need to just try to do on the road if we can. But this was, like, I had no option. I just couldn't watch it, so we couldn't record. There was just no way. But here we are.
Here we are. And I'm going to crack this guy.
What is that?
Okay. This is a... not a sponsor. Bud Light Platinum Seltzer, Wild Berry Hard Seltzer, 8% alcohol by volume, made with agave.
I love alcohol.
Alcohol is one of my favorites ever. this little guy's delicious.
Well, that's great. I mean, we don't need to beat around the bush here. Let's just get into episode 2 and recap this whole situation. You ready for it?
I'm super ready. Like, let's get into this one.
Okay, so it opens up with Katie talking about her hopes and dreams for the week ahead. She sits down with Caitlin and Tayshia, and they seem to be each drinking a glass of milk, very thick milk. I really questioned what the heck this was. Did you notice this or no?
Was there an official milk sponsor for this episode, or was it sponsored by Dairy Gold or something? It was odd. They weren't even.
Did you notice cookies?
I did. I remember writing down, why are they drinking? Yeah, why are they drinking milk?
Okay, so I had a lot of thoughts about this. I was barely listening to what they were saying because all I could think about were the three glasses of thick milk on the table, and then I realized I think that it was glasses of yogurt. But all they had was, like, okay, it was a big bowl of fruit and then three glasses of maybe yogurt with no spoons. So what were they going to do? How were they supposed to eat it?
They were going to just throw it. They were just going to just get it down and just, like, pour it down their gullet.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? This is the first time I've ever agreed with you about throating. So that was weird. Anyways, they talk about, her excitement about her group of guys. That was all very fun. And then it leads right into the announcement of the group date. And I wrote down the names of the guys. We've got Christian, Garrett, Trey, Courtney with a Q, Mike P, James, Justin, Thomas, Connor B, and Carl. And this is one of the most... I cried. Okay, listen. I felt very uncomfortable with this group date and the way that they kind of did Mike P dirty.
Oh, they 100% did Mike P dirty. This guy is, like, he has told production he's a virgin, what sex means to him in a relationship, with his religion, his personal beliefs, all of that. And they were like, you know what? Let's throw him on the group date in which sex is, like, the number one topic. Like, how do you go about your sexual life? And it's, like, clearly, I mean, now that I know that the producers select the people for these dates...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is just based on my experience on the show. I'm not sure if that's the way it is with the U.S. show, but I have to assume.
Yeah.
It was really, I mean, okay, first of all, they're all getting ready to go on the group date. They meet up with Katie, and did you notice the run and jump? I told you that in the American show, there's a lot of running and jumping. Did you see it? Did you see the koala bear jump?
So, I did, and I want to have a little bit of clarity. I need a little bit of clarity with how these are all set up. They seem to be on some sort of compound while all of this is happening. I would imagine they do travel at some point. Hopefully they do.
Well, I don't think not in this season, not with COVID.
Oh, really? So they're just going to stay on this like Kanye's ranch in the middle of like Utah or Colorado. That's where it seems like they are.
It looks like they're in Colorado, but I actually can't remember.
Guys, write in and let us know where you think this is. I mean, they probably told us.
I'm pretty sure there is a definitive answer here. I don't know why we don't know the answer.
But real quick. But my point is, they meet outside of this facility. Oh yeah, and they go outside. So I'm like, oh, it's an outdoors date. And then they immediately go back indoors to like a meeting area, like a stage. But apparently, this facility that they're all living in for this entire show has a stage. They have a full theater, a community theater within the compound. Yeah. And they meet outside, and then they go back inside to the community theater section of the compound. It's very. I was like, well, why the fuck did they meet outside in the first place? And it's because of the run and jump. And they like pick her up, and it's like this whole fucking spectacle. Because those are the bits, like the opposite of whatever like a sound bite is. It's like the video bite where they just throw that into the preview. Like she's always totally getting picked up by these guys.
It's true.
So weird.
It's true. I guess that's a really good theory as to why they started outside. And the run and jump was so intense. Like, he just, like, threw her onto his body. She didn't even get a chance to jump onto him. Anyway, so they go into, yes, the community theater section of the compound. And all of these different things, like furry handcuffs and dildos and all these different little sex things are showing up under spotlights. And it's setting the tone for this sex forward kind of date, which on its own could be uncomfortable for some people to be open about, especially in front of other people. Like, of course, that's not like a natural situation that you'd find yourself in, especially not natural for Mike P, who's already starting to get nervous. And as soon as it starts showing him in his ITMs, in the moment interviews, talking to the producers, you can see that he's been crying. And fuck, like, my heart just started breaking. I was like, dude, why would they do this? Like, this isn't even... I mean, before we even see what happens, I'm like, this is not funny what they're doing. This is not entertaining what they're doing. This is just mean.
It's also, it's not like a challenge for him. It's like challenging everything this guy believes in. Like, I'm not religious, but is that sex positivity or is it like overjuiced sexuality? I think they like... They got the gist from her that she's very sex positive, and then they were like, all right, we got to get right into sex. We got to make them all very uncomfortable right away. And it's like, that's not what a first date is. Like, I feel like, I mean, I obviously I don't know Katie personally, but it seems odd that I don't think she's under the impression that if you are sex positive, you talk about sex 20 minutes into a coffee date with
someone. I know. I do agree with you in that, like, the producers are really milking the whole sex positivity thing. Like, that's going to be the theme of the freaking show or something. And it's like,
oh, yeah, they milk it.
Yeah, like, stop. It's fine, you know? Like, stop. I don't know. And so, anyway, they get into this thing where they're each going up and, like, talking about how they're going to blow her away with their sexuality, or they're like being, I don't even understand honestly what the point of this date was, but yeah, I mean, it's entertaining and it's fun, and I think she was just kind of having fun with it. I don't think it was meant to be anything too serious, but for Mike it clearly was, and it was making him feel really uncomfortable. And what was he supposed to talk about, you know? And so we get into the guys saying all the stuff. Carl says, his quote is, Katie deserves to be with Kay Smitty. I don't know who, that's his nickname for himself, I suppose.
Oh, he's like an artist, right? He's the artist guy.
He's the weirdo guy. He's the psychopath guy. And he grabs a banana.
Which we learn later.
Like, yeah, he starts, well, I freaking could pick up on it pretty quick. Rubbing that banana on her like cardboard cutout. I was like, ew, like, ew. I just don't like the idea of like a hard boner like rubbing against my body. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, that's what I was picturing.
Guys, that we've gotten down to the root of all of this. Jasmine does not like the idea of a hard boner just rubbing all over her body. Does not like that. Now, we're going to do a poll.
Especially because it was like him.
Week.
I was like, get it away from her. Get it away.
Oh, my God. that?
I don't know. I'm just like, stop. I feel like the guys are getting this stupid, weird expectation from Katie. It's like, God, you can be sex positive and like open about your sexuality without like it meaning that you want to have sex right now. Because I noticed that even when the guys make out with her, and you brought this up in the first episode, and I now I'm starting to notice it, that like, it's like they're like, yeah, she's sex positive, she wants sex. Like, are you so dumb that you don't understand that there's like, there's more complexity to that, and that it doesn't mean like I need sex right now. Like, I'm like, just I don't know, the way that they make out with her is also just like so sexual, and maybe this is, I mean, she could want that, it could be on her terms, I have no idea. I just feel like they're misinterpreting what the hell it is that she means. Yeah. Like, I really think that, and of course the producers are taking it and running with it too. But anyways, back to freaking Carl, the weirdo. I just think he's so weird. He gives me the heebie-jeebies. He uses the word suffocate. He says that she deserves... He says she deserves 17 hours of nonstop sex or whatever. And I'm like, no woman wants even 3 hours of nonstop sex. Like, ow. Like, do you not... It's no. Any guy who thinks that that's what a woman wants, I'm already just like, well, you don't know anything. Like, don't go anywhere near any woman ever. All right. So then we get to Mike P. And he's talking about the fact that he's a virgin. And he has this letter that he reads to Katie about his... It's a letter to his future wife, which I know you love that, future wife. But in this situation, in this situation, it actually was fitting because he was saying it like, whoever I'm with in the future. I thought it was really sweet. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I was crying. Like, I was crying.
Dude, Mike P nailed it.
He's such a sweet guy. And I mean that
in the most ironic way possible. He absolutely nailed it. Like,
and I really like that he... the way that he described it is him saving himself for marriage is also his way of proving to his future partner, who he knows is going to mean so much to him, that that is his way of like showing his true commitment, you know, like, I'm going to make this sacrifice now so that you never have to feel insecure and you'll know that you're the only one for me. Like, that is really sweet. And to be honest, like, I'm not a religious person. I didn't grow up in a religious household. I don't really, I do know people who share those same sort of beliefs, but I've never really understood it from that perspective, I guess. And I thought that was really sweet. And she started crying. I started crying. I mean, I already was feeling so pissed off at the producers for even putting him in this position. So seeing him, you know, speak his truth, I hate that saying, but and then having it received so well by Katie, I just I was so happy that it went that way for him. And then he ended up getting the award. And then we get to Connor B, the cat, now no longer cat. He wants to redo his kiss, and he does seem like a sweet guy. They sit down. Yeah. Do you remember this? They sit down. He's like, oh, you know, I really want to kiss you without my kitten mittens on. And then and then he kisses her. And I wrote, can the cat kiss? And then directly below I wrote, no.
No, he can't. He's doing the typical. So, okay. So I think most people can kiss, but you have to have that connection. Like, you have to be able to dive into it and get lost within it in order to, because it's a back and forth. It's not just one person kissing the other. It's 50-50. It's like the perfect kissing ratio, obviously. And it was like,
it was,
they were like little kisses.
Yeah.
And it was like, the same so kissing again, I remember from like middle school.
And
like
what I told you, people kiss
for the first time.
Yeah, just weird. Yeah, lots of pecking and lots of like my chin is going to like flick upwards at you. And and again, vertical faces, no one's turning their nose.
Get,
like, why are you doing that? And he's like leaning into her so hard, like, oh, it was just so gross. I'm sorry maybe they liked it.
She's sorry, I'm being judgy.
I'm sorry. Anyways, so then moving on, we see that there's the first one-on-one being announced, and it's being announced to our beloved Greg. Do you still like Greg? We liked him from episode one. Oh god. All right, I'm just going to explain it to you.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Is Greg the guy that Aaron doesn't like?
No. Greg is...
Oh, never mind.
Greg is a sweetie pie. All right, so Greg gets the first one-on-one. It's announced that he's going on it.
People
are...
Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Okay. Yep, I got it.
So They're in the house. Greg gets announced as being the first receiver of the one-on-one. Guys are kind of jealous because he also got the first impression rose. So it's like, wow, is he ever going to fall from grace? Not this episode. Carl scares the shit out of me. I wrote that again. I don't know why I did. I think I just... okay, listen. He smiles, but only his mouth is smiling.
He's this season's Drew.
He is.
Yeah.
He even describes himself as being like a salesman, and he talks about it being like a game a lot. She hangs out with Thomas. So this is all kind of flashing back. I bring up the fact that Greg had his one-on-one announced because he was not there for the group date. So he's not a part of that. He's back at the house, gets the one-on-one announced. Now flashback to the group date. She's having little like one-on-one moments with the dudes. She hangs out with Thomas. He gets this romantic music. So I have to assume this guy goes far. But he kind of, I do not get a good feeling about this Thomas guy. And she's like loving him. And he seems okay, but I haven't seen anything really about him to tell me whether or not he's good or bad. There's just something that kind of creeps me out. And they make out.
Who is Thomas again?
I can't even explain Thomas to you, Cole, because he has no defining characteristics. He is so unmemorable to me and probably to you, obviously to you.
Yeah.
So, but she really likes him, and he's just, you'll know when you see him next time. He's like tall, dark hair, that's all. But anyway, they sit down, they have a quick little interaction, and they make out. He gets romantic music, and they make out. And again, it's one of those situations where, dude, he lifts her up onto his lap, like straddling him. I'm like, I don't know, man. I just find it strange that they don't kiss her romantically very often. It's just sort of like uber sexual. Anyways, he gives me the heebie-jeebies too. And the other thing that's weird about it that I noted here is that I don't remember that happening with previous bachelorettes. Like, where it seems like, because she is very outspoken about her sexuality and that's become like a theme for her somehow, that means that these guys are getting the impression maybe that like she wants everyone to be overly sexual with her. And it's just like, that doesn't have to be the case. And I don't remember seeing this with any other bachelorettes. And I just feel like it's so weird how she's being treated like that. And again, this could be something she wants. Maybe she's the one instigating it. Who knows? In that case, fine.
So. Just not to interrupt you, but I get under the impression that production was the root cause of this. I feel like production was like, we're gonna go fucking crazy and there's gonna be dildos and there's gonna be all this shit going on. You're gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna root you. Like, it's just crazy shit happening. It's like over the top. And the guys, I feel like, are also a little uncomfortable. Like, it seems like they're being irked along by production to be like, oh yeah, like, do it.
No, I agree, but it doesn't explain the reason why the guys, when they kiss her, don't just kiss her gently and nicely like they do with other bachelorettes, and that they immediately like throw her on their lap and like make them her straddle them. I just find it strange.
Yeah.
I mean, she seems into it, but I still find it fucking weird. And kind of disrespectful, but anyway, or just kind of daft.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, dude, do you not understand that you can still be sex positive and like be deserving of like respect and chivalry? Anyways, speaking of chivalry and respect, she goes on this date with Greg, and it's great. They start off, she rolls up in this cool pickup truck. They're matching somehow weird, like in the most obscure outfits too. It's like, I'm sorry, it's not that common to wear like a hoodie with a plaid overcoat, but yet both of them are wearing that. Anyway, so they get in the car, they're driving, and she tells him that I don't even know if she tells him this yet, but they're going fishing. They're going to some river. They're going to go spend some time outdoors, and they're going to go fishing. And
they don't spend a single second fishing.
Yeah, you're right. But it's cute because he's excited. They're both excited. We like Greg. All is good. They roll up to the river. He says that he spent a ton of time outdoors and that he loves it. And then he can't set up a tent, which is interesting. But she helps him out. She teaches him how to make a toilet out of a bucket. They sit down on that toilet. They have a nice chat on that toilet. They have a nice makeout session on that toilet. And at that time, she also tells him about her dad and how he passed away and how going fishing and camping with him is something really special. And I imagine that she would probably go to a lot of the same places as you, Cole, because she is from the Seattle area.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting learning about her and the fact that her dad passed away. And this is another thing that separates this season from previous seasons is that normally, because the bachelorette or bachelor would be someone who went far on a previous season, you would have learned all of this about them already. So once they become the lead, there's not much to learn about them. And so it's kind of boring. And in this situation, we're getting to learn so much about her which is really interesting. And I really enjoy learning about her. I think she seems like such a down-to-earth person. She's obviously been through a lot, and she's comfortable talking about it. But I don't know, what was your opinion on how Greg received that conversation? Or what was your opinion on Greg on this date in general? Like, before we get to the dinner portion, just like the being at the river part.
I want to preface this by saying that I think now, having watched the entire episode, I think Greg is great. And he's now going to be known as Great Greg. But it could have been how it was edited. But she begins talking about her father, and it's this incredibly heartfelt moment. And like, right then, I'm almost wording support for her. And I'm not even with her.
I agree with you. I felt the same way. I felt like during that first portion of the date, when she was opening up, I was thinking about was like, wow, Greg seemed awesome, but he seems like one of those people who is like unable to open up emotionally, and he's like kind of getting uncomfortable about her opening up, and therefore she's becoming a bit uncomfortable, and I don't know, it just felt so weird. So I was so surprised when they went to the second portion of the date and they're sitting there chatting over dinner, and he explains to her that his dad passed away 2 years ago, and my heart breaks for him in having to experience that. And like, God, I mean, everything came together in that moment where I was like, they are so great. But yes, like, whether it was editing or just that he chose his timing in kind of a strange way to have told her. I mean, it's not up to us to determine how someone should like reveal that kind of information. But I was getting bad vibes at first. And then once they both opened up to each other and he was able to express that, I thought he did a really great job. And they were able to connect on that. And I thought that was so lovely and so crazy. Like, I think it's so crazy that they both had those same sort of experiences. Like, his memories, Jasmine, with his dad was fishing. Same with her.
It's so, not crazy.
Why is it not crazy? Because,
so if I'm a producer and I'm interviewing 200 plus men who have all been entered in, let's just say it's 200. I have no idea how many guys are entered into this, whether they entered themselves or they had a loved one enter them into it. But I'm reviewing all these cases, and I know the background of the girl I'm trying to set them up with. And her background is her father died. They fish together and she likes the outdoors. Like, let's just say just that chunk of who she is, right? And you find a guy who's cute, attractive, he's a well-rounded person as far as we can see, as far as can be interviewed, and he has the exact same backstory, and you set them up on the first one-on-one.
No, you're right.
It's not crazy at all. The producers 100% set that up. I mean, it's like a
team. Okay, fair enough. I mean, yeah, the producers obviously knew, but I still thought it was kind of coincidental. I don't know. The one thing that I will say about this moment between them that I thought was really sweet, and like maybe it went unnoticed by some, but it did not go unnoticed by me, was when Katie grabs his hand and kisses his hand when he's like getting emotional, and you can tell that he's a little uncomfortable crying on camera, and she grabs his hand and kisses it and then says, "You're doing fine." And I thought that was so sweet. I don't know. I just think she's such a sweet little angel. Well, anyways, I wrote in capital letters.
Fucking gem. I mean, she just feels very comfortable with herself, who she is as a person, and she's not scared to be vulnerable or emotional. As you can see throughout the entire episode, when she feels like she's been backstabbed or someone is planning something or isn't real with her, she takes it incredibly personally, which I don't think is a negative trait at all. I think she's like, I'm here for this, and if you're not here for that, then it's like a big fuck you to me.
No, I think she's awesome. And I wrote in capital letters at the end of that date, wrap it up. Wrap up the show. Pull a Claire Crawley and get the heck out of there with this guy, because you guys seem like a good match. I'm so afraid for something to go terribly wrong. Next up, we've got the cowboy date is next on the list here. The girls roll in. We've got our Caitlin and Tayshia rolling in their weird outfits, and the date is called Katie's Big Buckle Brawl, and they're gonna win a buckle and fight each other in the mud, weirdly on their knees. Like, is that like a style of like mud wrestling?
It's okay, so I wrestled for like 20 minutes in high school, and one person starts on their knees, they kind of on all fours, and the other person like wraps their arms around them, but they're standing, and then you begin, and you have to like get them into the down position and pin them. But they were both on their knees, so I was like, is this like a weird fucking thing? The other question I have with it though is, would they have made women do this? Women. If it was The Bachelor? And no, they made women fight in the mud. People would be like, are you serious?
No, they did do stuff like that. But you're right. They do. Really? They do kind of like do some like weird objectifying type. This isn't like that uncommon for the show. Okay. Yeah, I feel like it was all a bit weird. But to be honest, like, I tune out of all of these like hyper-masculine sports dates. Like, even mine, when we did the wrestling in Jamaica and stuff, I was like, I can't even, like, be interested. Or the football. I was just like, I don't care. And when I watch those show, like, that in the show, any date that's like that, I just, I have, it's so boring to me. I can't even, I barely even pay attention. All that I wrote for this was, like, Aaron fought that guy he hates. You know, the guy when he was like, I don't fucking like you, bro. That guy, he fought him. His name's Cody. Then we find out that they know each other. And not much is explained. And basically, this whole thing was set up to teach us that Aaron and Cody know each other. And that their tension on that night one that seems so out of nowhere actually wasn't that out of nowhere. But the weirdest part about it all is that we never learn what the situation was. Like, we don't learn how Aaron knows Cody. We don't learn what Cody said that pissed off Aaron. None of it is explained, and it's so strange. And and just this whole thing was weird, because in any other Bachelor type show, you would see drama like this get dragged out over multiple episodes, and Katie just cut it off immediately. Like, first of all, she didn't get any answers. Second of all, she just sent Cody home, like, without even getting his side of the story, which I don't blame her for. And I think it was really smart of her to do, because I'm sure the producers probably wanted them to, like, keep that tension. But it was just, the tension was boring. All of it was weird. I just felt like it could all have been cut out.
We didn't even get to the bottom of anything. I mean, this the top layer.
It was irritating to watch. It was irritating to watch how little they were saying. I was like, shh, just stop. Just go away. I'm glad she got rid of him. But anyway, I mean, there's nothing more to get into with that either. That was just boring content for me. And then she ends up having really good chats with the other guys once she gets rid of him. And again, like, I think the most significant part about that was the fact that she said goodbye without letting that drama drag on.
I do. Here are all my notes on the Aaron Cody beef. I said, Katie explains to Aaron what Aaron said when she's talking to Cody afterwards. And Cody is shocked. And he says, that is just not factual information. It's a direct quote. I said, dude, Cody is falling apart. And then she asks him, I need you to prove to me that you're a good person. And I literally looked over at Natalie and I was like, how the fuck do you prove to someone you're a good person?
Right.
Like, while sitting on a couch.
That's true.
Like, I understand where she's coming from, but I'm like, that's a crazy thing to, I mean, is it just, like, metaphorically, are you a good person? Like, what are you supposed to talk about your past and be like, oh, I took care of my sick mother? Like, how do you prove that you're a good person?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he does his little one-on-one interview, and he says this, like, 9 times. He goes, you know, I'm just so fucking heated right now.
What, though? Tell us.
That you got caught. He doesn't even say, like, why would he lie about me? We don't even know what he's lying about anyways.
We don't even know what the fuck this is even about. None of it makes sense. It's the same as the night one when he goes up to him and says, I don't like you, bro, and it's not my fault. It's like the producers are, like, playing games with us. They're like, let's make you so irritated that you don't know what this beef is about. So much that, like, there's no resolve even. He just goes home and you'll never know. You're never going to know. Why don't we have Cody up on the podcast? God.
This is the name of the episode. We're going to be caught. Where's the beef? We don't get to the bottom of fucking anything. We don't get any sort of answer, resolution, closure. He just is like, all right, I guess I'll go fuck myself, and just leaves.
I mean, good riddance, I guess. I don't know. Weird. It's annoying as a viewer to not have any answers.
I finished it. My notes on this entire Aaron and Cody beef was saying, Katie calls it perfectly. She's just right the fuck on it.
She is right on it, man. She's on it, dude. She's like, sharp. She knows exactly what happens in this show, too. Where she's like, this could take up every single episode. That's usually what would happen. So she's so, I'm proud of her for doing that. And then she ends up having a great night. Like, she's kind of rattled for a little bit, but then she has really good chats with all the dudes. I found it was so weird when Hunter, who looks a lot like Taylor Lautner, wrote her a note on, like,
Think he looks like Taylor Lautner?
Yes, he does. Not like a young version of him. Not like Twilight version. Look at his face again. Okay? He could be his brother.
Hunter.
I wrote, why did Hunter write her a note on the most rigid paper ever and then watch her read it? She reads a note that he wrote that he could have just said to her face. So it's very strange because she's reading it while he's looking at her like this. And she's reading the words that he could be saying with his actual mouth.
Okay, here are my thoughts on this, because you bring up a great point. This letter thing is fucking weird, and I think what happened is he saw
yes, Mike Chris P.
Mike P. do his whole letter and was like, oh, I'll do a letter too. In the history of Bachelorette, how many fucking people write letters? There's no way that in one episode there's two goddamn letters written just be told to someone. I understand Chris... But, like, Hunter's letter was fucking dumb.
No, you're absolutely right. He was totally doing it as... He was like, wow, that worked. I'll try that. And speaking of guys taking notes from someone else's success...
Carl.
He sees Aaron.
Hey, Aaron! He takes a note from him and fucks it up so brutally.
So let me explain. Aaron, of course, is the guy who comes forward to Katie to tell her about Cody being not there for the right reasons. And he's rewarded for that. He's rewarded, he's praised for that, for looking out for her, for trying to protect her. And I think that that's really nice. But what happens is Carl thinks, oh, that's the strategy that I need to take. I need to, like, come forward and tell her that there's guys here for the wrong reason. So he does just that, but with nothing to back up his claims and no specifics. Even when she asks for specifics and is very blunt about needing to know the answers, he refuses to give them because he doesn't have them. He's just like, I'm going to tell her that people are here for the wrong reason, and then she's going to think I'm a hero. So he basically just does that. He says there's guys here who aren't 100% here for 100% of the right reason. He says 100% a lot. And that's it. That's all he has to say. It was very stupid, unsuccessful, caused a big beef. And the episode essentially ends with the guys being pissed at him because he...
The thing that's so great is as soon as... I mean, obviously it's a tee off for any guy to just be like, why would you do that and look like a good person? Because they're all like, that's like, what? You had no grounds to do any of this. The fact that he was silent for what seemed like 20 minutes of all of them brewing over, who the fuck said this? Like, you're just pissing her off and making her sad and freaking her out and emotionally tormenting her. Like, who said this? And he's just like, well, I said something. And they're like, why? He's like, because I think some people are here. I wanted someone to literally say, are you talking about yourself? Because it really seems like you're projecting.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, because that's just exactly, in my opinion, that's exactly what's happening.
But he had no answers because he was making it up. It was just his way of replicating what Aaron did. He just thought that would help him get closer to Katie. It's to him, as he's said many times, this is a game, and everything that he's done has been with the intention of getting a rose. Like it's the prize at the end of the game. Yep. So it's like he's taking whatever strategic measures he can to try to secure that, and he's just like a sociopath, not able to make a real human connection, so he just tries to replicate other people making human connections.
Yes.
It was so stupid. And so now, I mean, that cuts off. We didn't get to the rose ceremony because now we're left on a cliffhanger about what's going to happen with him for episode 3. And I mean,
I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm like
pumped up, Jasmine. You don't even understand. I'm so pumped to listen. The thing is I'm falling for the whole thing. Like, I think it's for different reasons.
What are your reasons?
Well, maybe it's the same reasons. Maybe I don't understand the viewership of the show enough, where I think half the people are very, they delve into the lives and who the people are that are actually competing. Or again, it feels weird to say competing. I'm in there just for the drama, just to see how humans interact with one another when there's cameras on. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting the choices people make. Because, like, again, if I were to do this, I would be under the pretense that, okay, I assume everything is filmed, so don't be a fucking idiot. Be honest with people. And if you're not a good fit with someone, just be like, I don't think this is a good fit. I'm going to bounce. Like, if you want to be friends, I love that. But I don't feel this emotional connection. Get the fuck out of there.
And you're giving people a little too much credit because this is why this has become such a complicated thing and why she was so upset about the idea of people not being there for the right reasons. And that's because right now, in this day and age, the wrong reasons is people wanting fame on social media. Like, that is such... Yeah, it's such a realistic reason that a lot of people are there. And it doesn't mean that people can't find love even if they're not really intending to. But, like, you don't want to start off a relationship. Like, it's just, like, icky, you know? So that's the fear. That's why she's so upset, is because that's become such a real scenario that can pop up now. It never used to be that way, but that's the way it is a lot of the time now. It's almost like you're lucky if you find someone who's not there for that. Like, Mike P, for example. I think he's there for a real relationship. I don't think he's there to have a social media career. There are some that you can tell that that's not their main motive, but a lot of times it is, and that she's got to be vigilant about it, and it's just weird. But I appreciate that you don't see it that way, or like that you're kind of watching it in, you're watching it in the old school way that it's meant to be watched, the way that the show is originally made. Anyways, looking forward to episode 3. Don't forget to please give us a 5-star review and follow us or subscribe or whatever it is that you need to do on whatever listening app you are tuned into. Social channels, we've got Friends Off Pod on Twitter, Friends Off Podcast on Instagram, and that's about it. And we have no followers, so please be there. Please be there. So you can see that Hunter looks like Taylor Lautner. Anyways, talk to you next episode.
All right, sounds good. Later.
Bye.